in the name of the Lord, the risen Lord, today. Happy Easter across the world. You know, though we're not together, it's still a happy Easter because Christ has risen. And because of what Christ did, we can have a surety in our relationship with Him. We welcome you to our service, Northwest Assembly of God in San Antonio, Texas, this Resurrection Sunday. We're so glad you've joined in. And I have a favor to ask. Would you wave and then tell us where you're joining us from? If you're a Northwesterner, we'll know you. But others that may be joining us, tell us where you're from. Give us a little wave. You know, there's nobody saying amen, yes, preach it, preacher, or anything in here. So when you wave, it's like saying, oh, I like that point. Oh, I agree with that point. So help us out. Wave. God is good all the time. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we've come up against in this week and in the weeks to come, the goodness of God does not change. We want to open in prayer this morning, as we always do in our services. It's the first thing we do. And so let's open in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for this day that we celebrate. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for your love, your presence, your gift of Calvary. This morning, Lord, we pray that all that we do in this service, this virtual service, be pleasing to you, that it edify and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We lift up our nation and the nations affected across the world by this virus. We pray for all of those that are being affected by it physically, that you would touch their bodies. For all those doctors, nurses, aides, pathologists, all the people serving those affected by COVID-19, we pray for your protective hand and your strength. We pray for your wisdom and guidance for our president and the team around him. Be with our missionaries across the world and here in the United States, and pastors of all faiths, Lord, be with them. Be with the family of God, not separated by the denominational titles that may be on our marquees, united in our relationship with you, be with. And Lord, let everything again that we do today honor you and glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, I'm Kathy Moore, the senior pastor here at Northwest Assembly, and I am glad that you have tuned in this Resurrection Sunday. I will tell you, I'm an organized list kind of thinker, and I had a sermon prepared, and last night about 8:30, that sermon changed. So this morning I want to share with you what God gave me late last evening. And it's about that cross in our sanctuary. I don't think you can see it on the shot, but we have this massive, gorgeous, beautiful cross. And when I look at that cross, here's what I see. I see a banner of love. I see a message of love. I see not a man that still hangs there, but a risen Lord seated at the right hand of the Father, who, the Word says, is making intercession for you and for me. That beautiful cross shows us that Jesus was like no other man. Though he came to earth and was a man, he was still God. His love withstood mockery and misery. It withstood betrayal and mistreatment. Why? Because he had a determination that he would fulfill the will and the plan of God to be the sacrifice for you and for me. Why? So that we could be in relationship, that we could come to know him as Lord and Savior, so that we could have an assurity of what tomorrow brings through him. I want to assure you today, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Wherever you are, however you are, he loves you this day. Our scripture today is from John 10:14-18, and I'd like to read it to you. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. My goodness, what a powerful section of word is this. Jesus is telling us in this word, he chose. He had the authority, and that he was fulfilling what he and the Father had agreed for us. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians 5 and 2. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. His love was strong enough that he was willing to lay down his life for you and for me. Not some convenience by any means in his life. A chosen path that led to the cross of Calvary and ended in the ascension into heaven. I don't know if you've watched the Passion of Christ during this Easter season, but I sat and watched it day before yesterday. And I just sat and my heart was so moved with just the presentation of the love of God, the determination of Christ to fulfill his destiny for you and for me. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. I want to tell you, none of us deserved it. I know I didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it, but God demonstrated his love, Scripture says, for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He doesn't tell us, go get cleaned up and then show up at church. He says, come as you are with your heartache, your sorrow, whatever's going on in your life, and let me be Lord and Savior. Before we ever come to him, he loves us. He's proven it time and time again. I want to tell you, his love is deeper and wider and more vast than any human love. I was blessed to have a mother that I adored, and she adored us. She was a godly woman that presented the love of God and the truth of who he was. But as much as mother loved us, and we do miss her, as much as she loved us, it in no way can compare with the love of God. Nobody loves us like he loves us. The thing that always stands out in my mind on these passages about the Lord's life, death, crucifixion, death, and resurrection is his willingness. His willingness to be the sacrifice. That his heart and mind were made up because of his love for you. And for me, I want you to think about this morning. He knew exactly what he was facing. He knew the mockery that would come. One minute they're hailing him as the king, Hosanna, the king is coming, and the next minute they're screaming, crucify him. He knew the misery and mistreatment that the cross would bring. He knew the pain that the lashing would bring in his life. He knew the betrayal that was to occur from those that were near him. He knew what Judas was going to do, and he knew that Peter, bold, brass Peter, would deny him just as he prophesied to him. Betrayed by those that said, oh, we love you, we'll go anywhere with you, we'll do anything with you. And then in a short while later, when the guards came to arrest and Peter followed behind, he declares he doesn't know him. No, he's not part of that. Jesus knew all of that was going to occur. And yet, he still chose to fulfill his destiny and offer himself up as a sacrifice. John 10:17 through 18 reads, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I receive from my Father. I want to look at this passage specifically this morning. Let's be clear. This is a forceful statement of authority by Christ. He says, no one takes my life from me. This is astonishing. Judas can't take his life, though he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. The mob in the garden that came with the Roman soldiers to arrest him, they can't take his life. Ananias, the high priest, cannot take his life. The false witness who claimed against him could not take his life. The crowds who assembled in the courtyard screaming, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, they could not take his life. Herod, who sent him back to Pilate, could not take his life. And Pilate, who handed him over to the will of the mob, could not take his life. Even to Golgotha, the soldiers who nailed his hands in the cross, nailed his feet, they could not take his life. What does he mean? No one takes my life. I lay it down. He's saying, I control my destiny. I choose this destiny. I'm making the decision. He is asserting firmly and with authority, I'm doing this. I have the authority. The Father and I are doing this. Remember, he said, this is the command I received from my Father. Why? Why are they saying this? I'll give you the answer. Because they love you. That's why. That's what kept him at Calvary. That's what kept him when his friends turned against him. That's what kept him when the mob screamed, crucify him, and he had done nothing. His authority, yes, but his great love and the Father's love for you and for me. His love was a choice, and it was free. If they had been able to make the choice from him, would not have the weight of the redemptive power of as the sacrifice that it did. Understand this morning that the Father's heart and Jesus' heart were in perfect harmony, and it was about you. It was about me. That harmony says this: the Father loves you. The Son loves you. And what the Son loves, the Father loves. That's what Scripture tells us. This cross, some of us wear them, some of us have them on their cars, some of us have them in our houses or our offices. That cross is a picture of perfect redemptive love for each and every one of us. In fact, this is one of the areas that the enemy attacks us in. He doesn't love you. Why would he love you? You don't deserve to be loved. God doesn't love you. You've done too much. You're too far lost. You've ignored him too long. He doesn't love you. That's a lie. Every time you see a cross, you understand it's screaming forth the message, I love you. I was willing to give my life for you. The enemy is a liar. Repeatedly in Scripture, he's defined as such, the deceiver, the liar. Jesus and the Father love us. There's a song I love to sing. They make fun of me because I like to sing kind of more Southern gospel-ish. But it's nobody ever loved me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. Oh, listen, when we think about his love and we think about his goodness, it should strike awe in our heart. It should strike a chord in our heart that says, oh my goodness, Lord, how you love me. Thank you for that love. A friend of mine just said yesterday that in her entire life, she does not have a memory of not being in church with her family and her church friends on Easter. That this was going to be a weird Easter because she was not in the physical building of the church. As we have discussed, the church is not this building. You're the church. But as she was telling me that, I said, well, you know what? He's still present. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, he's present. And this is a weird year. 2020 is going to be marked down as an unusual year in our world history. But this is not the church. It's just the building. So make a new tradition today. This is a new tradition. We're virtual. But make a new tradition with your family and with your friends. Call your church friends today. Call your family today. Greet them. Bless them. Fellowship one with another. Oh, what is Easter about? It's not, I've said this for years. It's not about the bunnies or the peeps or Easter egg hunts or big gatherings. Although we love to hunt Easter eggs, we love big gatherings, we love the meals and the fellowship that come around them. And yes, for my dear friend Pastor Carolyn, I love peeps. And so, though it's not about the peeps, I enjoy eating the peeps. But you know what Easter is about? It's about seeing the enormity of God's love for each and every one of us. Not a love that we can earn. He paid that price. But a depth and a reach of love that in the natural we've not experienced, though we may have had people who love us. The other thing Easter is about is his desire that you and I come to know him intimately. If we already know him as Lord and Savior, it's that we grow deeper in that relationship. If we don't have him as Lord of our life, that we come to accept him and invite him as Lord of our life. And the third thing is that Easter is about is this. You can rely on him. You can trust him. You can invest your life in him. And you can know that he not only was willing to lay down his life for us, but that he calls us into his own. This earth is not the end of our journey. Scripture says that he's gone to prepare a place for us. One day, I pray to go there. I long to go there. Easter is about these things. Though we may enjoy the bunny and the peeps and the family gatherings and the ham, like ham, and those things, Easter is about that cross. It's about love. It's about commitment. It's about desire to fellowship. Have you ever thought of this? I say this to my church frequently. I always am amazed at how God would want to fellowship with me. That of the billions of people here on earth, that he knows me intimately. He knows my name, Scripture says. In fact, it says that my name is graven on his hand. All those that come to know him, our names are graven on his hand. He knows the intimate parts of our hearts. He knows the secret places. He knows us like no other. And in all of that being said, I always am so taken back that he loves me, that he longs for relationship with me. And I'm not unique. He loves you. He longs for relationship with you. He chose that cross. Why? Because he chose you. That's what that was all about. No one, nothing could take it from him. No one could make him do it. He had the authority and the willingness to fulfill that destiny. He had all the power of heaven at his disposal. Scripture says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't choose to. He's alive this day, seated at the right hand of the Father, longing to show us the depths and the measure of his love. He freely and completely loves each and every one of us. And he prepares a home for us to spend eternity with him. Today and every day, he calls us. He woos us for relationship in him. To those who don't know him personally, he calls to you to accept him as Lord and Savior. To those of you that know him, he calls to you for a deeper walk. Oh, if nothing else is accomplished in this time of quarantine, I pray that you have fellowship more with the Father and the Son, that you've read his word more, that you've prayed more. Draw near to him. Here's the thing about coming to know him as Lord and Savior. You don't have to take a course, how do I come in relationship with the Lord? You don't have to attend to go to a church and attend a believer's class to accept the Lord as Lord and Savior. He makes it so easy for us. He says, just acknowledge me. Recognize me as the Lord of your life. Recognize your need of me and accept me as Lord and Savior. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the relationship with Him. He makes it easy to come into fellowship. All you have to say is, Lord, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I'm thankful. You know, really, that's not strong enough to say I'm thankful. I'm actually overwhelmed with gratitude for His love for me. Though highly undeserving, He called me into relationship, and I'm thankful for that. Come to Him today. He calls you. He woos you. He says, I love you with an everlasting love, and I receive you. Don't turn aside from me. I love you. We all long to be loved. We long for connectedness. He offers that to us this day. And if you're there in virtual world listening to this, and that's you, and you've said, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, I would love for you to contact me at info@northwestag, and let me know that happened. Because here's what I'd like you to do. You see, when we receive Him, I'm giving you some pastoral counsel here. When we receive Him as Lord and Savior, the next steps that we need to take is we need to find a church. If you're in San Antonio, come see us. You need to begin to attend. Though I love virtual church, you need physical church also. You need a body of Christ that you come into face-to-face relationship with. So when we can begin to attend church again face-to-face, I encourage you to begin to seek out a place of fellowship where you can grow in your relationship to Him. And get a Bible. We can't go to a store right now, but you can get it online. You can read it online. Begin to read the Word in a translation that you can understand, that makes sense. My favorite part is this, and I would say this to all believers, new and mature. Begin for those new and continue for those that know Him to talk to Him. I love talking to the Lord. I learned long ago I don't have to have some kind of thee-est and thou-est and long, repetitious prayer to talk to Him. I can just talk to Him from my heart, and He hears me, and He knows what I mean, even when I can't get all the words right. He knows. So begin a practice of just talking to Him. And if this has all happened for you this day, then this is your best Easter ever. 2020 is your best Easter ever. For those in service today, again, that already have relationship, I want to speak to you for a moment. You see, you need to deepen your relationship in Him. You need to grow closer in your relationship. Oh, I've probably said, help me, Jesus, more times in these last 5 weeks than I have in my entire walk with Him. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, know what to do. Help me, Jesus, find the necessary goods to exist day to day. Help me, Jesus, make the right choices for my sheep, for my fellowship, for all of us in you. Help me, Jesus, draw close to you. So I'm saying to you this day, you join me in that. Help us, Lord, draw closer to you. I want to tell you we're having a very special service tomorrow night at 6 p.m. live again, YouTube and Northwest AG Facebook. And it's a brief message on healing and then a time of praying for healing. If you need prayer, if you are facing a circumstance needing healing and you would like prayer, a prayer petition placed at the altar tomorrow, then send that to me at info@northwestag.org, and I'll be reading those today and tomorrow, and before the live broadcast at 6, I'll have them on cards, and I'll be praying over those as we pray. But before we have prayer, I will be sharing with you in the Word the clarity of why we can request healing of the Lord. Because, you know, one of the things that happened at that cross too, Scripture says, by His stripes we're healed. I know there are many, many prayer requests in our church and across the nation for those needed healing. So if you're listening and you would like to be included in that service and have your prayer petition list lifted up, send it in at info@northwestag.org. You don't have to write a book, just a name. You don't even put a name. Just tell me the circumstance briefly, and we will lift that up tomorrow. This morning, I'd like to close the service with a song that has run over and over and over in my heart during this season. This song is called Above All. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind a stone, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind a stone, live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. You took the fall and thought of me. Aren't you glad for that this morning? He took the fall, and he thought of each and every one of us in that encounter. I want to pray with you before we go, and I want to encourage you. You know, enjoy this season of being able to watch all kinds of different ministries, but you be faithful to your home pastor and church, first and foremost, and then enjoy the others. I have enjoyed watching so many services during this time. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, thank you that you did have all authority and power to make the decision, and that you chose in that decision to offer your life for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that there have been individuals that this day have asked and come into relationship with you, and those that are that have been pricked in their heart to draw nearer to you. We love you. We thank you for your love, because you loved us when we were unworthy and undeserving of that love. Thank you for it, Lord. Go with all of us. We don't get to go many places, but in our homes, be with us there, Lord. As the song says, be Lord of all. Be Lord of our home. Be Lord of our work. Be Lord of our hunt for goods. Be Lord of all. We bless your name. We worship and love you, and thank you for your goodness. Amen. And amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you his peace. Amen and amen.